Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Names.
You'll never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's what we love it.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks Thursday night footy.
Welcome aboard Rugby League on the road. Mackay is the venue tonight. We welcome three brand new venues this weekend. We will take Rugby League to Rockhampton and to Redcliffe in Brisbane. Of course, Redcliffe desperate for a team of their own, and it'll be a big test over the next few weeks, and I'm sure they're going to fill that beautiful Dolphin Stadium every time we take games there. But tonight, we got a good one. We're starting to run into some really good Thursday night games. It's the Roosters and Parramatta. It's a battle for the top four. Parramatta threw one away last week. Well, they were outplayed by Canberra. And that now means that Parramatta's spot in the top four not so secure. And this now becomes an important game. The Roosters just nipping at their heels. The team tonight, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler. Boys, hello to you.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Del. Hey, everyone. Dan, I think you understated it. This is a huge game tonight for Parramatta.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about their run in, they play in their next six games, five of the top sides in the competition all around where they are sit on the table. So, I mean, they can also, you know, move up the ladder if they're good enough, but the pressure is going to be firmly on them if they don't win this tonight to retain that top four spot. There's no doubt about that, Del.
Yeah, no, I agree. Even last week, people go, oh, Parramatta are unlucky. Guys, are we working in and around the game? But the play before, the try before, Dylan Brown was offside. I'm going to be honest. I'm not...
You're not feeling sorry for the Eels?
No.
They had their chances.
He was offside.
Yeah.
Simple as that. At the tackle at the end of the day, it wasn't illegal, but at the end of the day, mate, Canberra were a better team last week. But Parramatta, I still trust Parramatta, but they need Mitchell Moses back.
Yeah, and he's not there tonight, so Jake Arthur will again be in the number seven role. This stadium, it's a pretty good country venue. Well, probably better than just pretty good. 12,000 in Mackay. This is not far from your neck of the woods, Wendell Saylor. Back in the day, there's a 1,500-seat grandstand, but 12,000 it can fit total. So hopefully we get a nice crowd tonight.
Well, it's funny you say that because, mate, people that know about Mackay Rugby League and Serena Rugby League, so Dale Shearer and Martin Bella, when I was growing up, they were my heroes.
Yeah.
Okay? Obviously, I came through that system. Kevin Campion.
Yeah.
Okay, Owen Cunningham.
Good player.
Dane Gagai.
Good player.
Wait, Dane Nilsson. Dally Cherry Evans. We all come from that neck of the woods. And really, mate, ready? I'll throw it right back. Everyone said, oh, who was the best young player that you played with in your time? Mate, there was a guy called Butch Fatnauna, okay?
Yeah, he played with Penrith for a little bit.
Yes. He was one of the best and most talented. The other guy was better than me. This will surprise you. They were better than me. Brett Dallas. Mackay boy.
Of course. Yes, indeed. So what a rugby league heartland that is. Mackay, which is what? How far south of Townsville?
Mate, it's Olympics time, and I don't mean to drop names, but I'm going to drop a name for you, okay? Because I know I'm a name, but I'll drop a name for you. So there's Mackay.
Yes.
Okay? There's Rockhampton.
Yes.
So Cameron Munster's from, okay? Anthony Seibold, one of my best mates. He's from Rockhampton. Kathy Freeman and I did athletics in Mackay. So when you walk into Mackay Airport, there's Kathy Freeman on the left, me on the right. As you walk in there, she's the best athlete North Queensland's ever produced.
So Serena's about, what, 20 minutes underneath Mackay,
yes,
is it?
Yes, 30k, 35k.
Is it?
Okay. And it's the best beaches in the world. There's Campwin Beach, Armstrong's Beach.
But there's no waves in those beaches, yeah?
There's no waves, but look, it's like fishing.
Protected by the Barrier Reef.
As a European,
yes.
Good, that's my type of beach.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my type of beach.
Just avoid the crocodiles.
Wait, you're so right. My dad used to love fishing there, and the crocodiles didn't really come in until, like, obviously about 2004-5. My dad used to go net fishing in that, and the crocs started to come in, and he still used to go in there. It's a beautiful place. Always love going back there, but I can't go back there because the borders are closed.
Of course. And I suppose if you live up there and in Northern Territory, you'd be so used to blasé about the crocs. You'd think, bugger it. you know what? Whatever happens, happens.
Exactly.
I'm going to go in the water. I feel like going in the water.
Well, well, that's it. And that's the way it is. But you know what? It is what it is. If you know, you don't go in the water. Just, you're not a tourist. Like, so if you're a German or you're, whatever. If you go to Darwin, what do they say to you? Don't go in the water.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect. When you go in the water late at night...
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go swimming up in that part of the world, then you just make sure you go in with someone from Germany or... an Italian.
Let them be cannon.
Or, yeah, well, I mean, usually the Crocs, for some reason, go after the European blood, don't they?
I wonder why. I wonder why. Oi, it's midnight. Oh, here's a little snack for me.
So we go down the road later this week to Rockhampton and then Redcliffe on Sunday afternoon. So it's a good South play the Dragons. They will fill that joint at Rockhampton. South and the Dragons. South are popular wherever they go.
So that that venue is Brown Park. I played a lot of my junior football there. So North Queensland and Central Queensland, it's on the border. It's on the equator, CQ region. So in my last year of school, boys, this will shock you, I repeated grade 12. I don't know why I just play football. So Sid Domick, we played schoolboys together, John Driscoll. You know who was the halfback? Matt Singh.
Wow.
So we played at Brown Park. So, yeah. So that's,
and he was halfback.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
Mate, we had a good team and we got smashed in the schoolboys carnival. But Brown Park is... So Cameron Munster came through there.
Yes.
Anthony Seibold signed him as a 17-year-old. So those guys... Ben Hunt came through there. So those guys came through Rockhampton. I think Rocket Rod Ready. That's that culture of Rockhampton. So they love their football.
Mackay, where we're at tonight, has hosted NRL before.
Yes. Ben Barber
scored Melbourne that Storm. Remarkable try. That would have been 2012. 2012 against the Storm when he went from the dead ball line and beat the team twice over before he got to the line.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen. I grew up, so Ben Barber's got a couple of brothers and he's got a sister. Mate, the Barbers from Mackay, unbelievable family. Actually, that's another one I forgot to say. Ben Barber, so he's a Mackay boy. So the Barbers, mate... What you saw then, his brothers were just as good, if not better. There was Aaron Barber, but a couple of them are minors. But that was what they did every week in Mackay.
Tony Barber?
Oi, sale of the century.
All right, so we've got plenty to look forward to this weekend as the race for the finals.
Good to see the big man excited about some footy up north of the border, eh?
I know.
Big man.
Well, mate, I've been in lockdown. People go, mate, you must be disappointed with lockdown. No, I'm not, because you know why? Because we're in lockdown, but we can still train, obviously, for business. I feel sorry for you, Gerds.
Yeah.
Obviously, your cafe. I was here on Saturday and there was a march here. It was called the Freedom March. Look, I don't care what you do, but at the end of the day, I don't judge anyone for what they believe in. This time last year, I was in quarantine, so mate, I get why people are marching. I don't agree with it. I'll get vaccinated probably next week, and it is what it is. So everyone's...
All right. So that's what we've got to look forward to. This is a ripper game tonight. It's hard not to. I know we're a rugby league show, and it's good. We're back sort of.
Oh, let's do it, Dan.
Getting our heads around rugby league.
It's once every 4 years.
But how,
come on.
How good.
Outstanding.
That. Did you please tell me you watched the Jessica Fox stuff this afternoon?
Of course.
That's the best thing of the game by 100 miles.
I haven't seen it. What happened?
So, you know, the Fox story, she silver and bronze.
She got a bronze, didn't she? Mate,
that's right.
Who cares about bronze?
She had a bronze. She had it. Well, she probably cares a little less about that now.
Yeah.
So she wins a bronze a couple of days ago, but it was disappointing. She was the favourite, and she was so close. And this was it. This is a new event, and this might be her last roll of the dice. And it would be a career unfulfilled if she didn't win. And she had the last run in the new event, the canoe, first time women have ever competed. And she had a hot time to beat. Her dad is in the commentary box. Also, an Olympian, Richard Fox, came fourth in the games many years ago. And she put in the most extraordinary run, no penalty. She killed the time she had to beat. But just the dad.
Yeah, and let me ask you, Dan, because I've known ever since I've had kids, like those things mean probably something different to, you know, parents than they do the people that haven't had children.
Yeah.
So I'm watching that and I'm, you know, tearing up because I'm listening to him commentate about his daughter that's won and talk about not just what she's done as an athlete but who she is as a person and whatnot. And it just got me. Yeah,
no,
I was gone. Did it get you and you didn't
absolutely.
Have kids?
Absolutely.
It got you as well.
I was teary.
What a beautiful moment, huh?
Yeah, no, mate, I agree. But can I tell you, the hardest thing in the game, you want your kids to do well. And I don't want to pick names out randomly, but imagine like Shane Flanagan, His son's playing football. He's on Fox, obviously. I'm Triple M. I'm a Triple M rock star. Did I just throw that grenade? To call one of your kids that are playing football, it's like when Tristan threw that left to right pass last year. Alex Johnson, he intercepts it. Tristan, don't throw the pass, mate.
Yeah.
Alex Johnson scores and does the LeBron celebration. Mate, part of me is going, why did he throw that pass? But, mate, in the heat of the moment, you've got to call it as you see it. And, you know, you were with me.
Yeah.
It's hard to call it, but it is what it is. But that's what makes us what we are.
Well, this bloke, Richard Fox, is the coolest I've ever heard.
I've watched it. I can't wait to watch it.
Because, well, for the first race, you knew he was disappointed a few days ago, but he was partial.
Yeah.
And he did not... he wasn't biased in any way. He was measured, amazingly measured.
It would probably be easier, Dan, to stay measured in those moments of disappointment than what it would be with the adulation of watching a winner.
How does he not? We have commentators, you know, in that moment swimming in years gone by, not so much with Thorpey, but in years gone by, they scream like banshees, you know, in the background.
Yeah.
Hey, Aussie. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Play-by-play callers. Yeah. We go nuts. But this bloke...
Cool as a cucumber.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But he did finally show some emotion.
He did.
After she won. And then, I've got to say, Channel 7, this was brilliant. The half hour after the race, the best television I've seen in a long time, where they brought him on set with Shervo and Edwina.
Shervo, what was he wearing? Oh, no, so it was
because the thing is, you couldn't see him. So while the race was on, he could actually his voice would change. You would hear his voice change a little bit during moments, but you couldn't see him. And all of a sudden, he'd go quiet.
Yeah.
But he couldn't hide for these moments when he had to get out for the medal ceremony. And that was beautiful, huh?
It's mate. I know, Goods. You've got two daughters, Dan. I know you've got no kids, but when you have kids, mate, they're the best thing ever because you want your kids to be successful. And you know, I know Goods always used to we were commentating, talked about my son and, you know, how's your daughter going and stuff. The easiest thing is when they're doing well, but it's when they're going through a tough time. And then remember that game we called, us three, I think called that game when Tristan threw that pass. Mate, that was, I felt for Tristan, but adversity makes you stronger. The best part of that was at the end of it, he didn't drop his head. Wayne Bennett called me after the game and he goes, mate, young bloke went well. I said, oh, he threw the pass. You know what Wayne Bennett said to me? He goes, Del, do you understand how much pressure's on your son? Because he's your son.
Yeah.
I said, Wayne, the kid's got more talent than I could ever have. And he goes, what I liked about him is he put the kick in the right corner and then obviously set up the try.
Yeah, that's after he threw the intercept.
So I always shouted for Tristan, but at the end of the day, as a dad, and we're commentators, that's what we're paid to do. And then Tristan was shattered. When I went home, Tristan was shattered. But it is what it is. We work in this game, and this game gives us so much. But I love sport, and this is what... I can't wait to watch it. I haven't seen it today because I played golf today.
Yeah, you can't find it.
It'll be on a stream somewhere. But it was... They had to go to the news, so you had to flip over to another channel. Yeah. And then she did an interview. What a beautiful lady she is.
Yeah, like absolutely.
The spirit and the soul of this young lady... You can't help but want her to win.
No.
So we've won now 8 golds, but none as good as the swimmers have been, and they've been wonderful.
They have.
Nothing will top that.
Yeah, it'll be hard to beat. It'll be hard to beat.
And we'll talk about it later, because I think you're on rush hour. Last night I was driving home from, this will shock you, I was driving home from the golf course. Were you on rush hour last night talking about the surfing or something the day before?
No, just that was today.
Yeah, oh, sorry there.
Just
mate,
earlier.
I get mixed up in quarantine because I'm playing golf and I'm training and I'm just looking great.
Yeah.
Mate, Sally Fitzgibbons, mate, I wanted Sally to win gold.
Yeah.
She put so much pressure on herself. I know Sally, she's a great kid. Her family's, mate, great. She was a 400, 800 metre runner, I think, back in the day. She was like a national champion.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have probably run for Australia, but she wanted to win gold. But I'm not sure who won the gold medal in the women's surfing.
Carissa Moore.
Yeah, I know Carissa Moore, but I didn't know that. So I saw it yesterday. This will shock you. I'm not a surfer. I'm not great with the water, but I love my surfers.
Well, she...
No, I do. I love it. It's such a
it's
hard
a great sport.
Yeah,
it's a brilliant sport.
Mate, I don't drop names on Mick Fanning, on Joel Parkinson. Oh, sorry, I'll pick up those names up.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it's a hard sport.
Yeah.
I know you love it.
And a bit fluky, too. Like you have to get the right wave, then you have to nail. It's a bit like Jess. Not only you've got to get the right run and all those things. Triple M rocking your Thursday night football. We'll talk about these two teams and some of their headlines in rugby league right after this as we rock the footy. And Canadian Club, as always, bring us prime time.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, and getting you ready for the Roosters and Parramatta on this Thursday night. as we start round number, what are we in now? Round
20.
20. I can't keep up,
Yeah, yeah. Round 20. So what is this? Is that 6 weeks to go? Six weeks to go.
So, Gertz, I need a rest, mate. Up. I need a rest, mate. Like, I know I was in the Hunter Valley a couple of weeks ago, but this is, I'm sick of calling from the studio, mate.
I know. These four-day work weeks are killing me, Wendell. I don't know about
mate,
you.
I don't know what they're paying Gordon Tallis and Dobbo, but they need to pay me more because, mate, me and Gertz, Gertz is probably calling my games than me, but we're doing their shifts.
I don't know how we qualify as essential workers, but we are very thankful that our jobs have gone untouched in this pretty rubbish time at the moment. Tigers-Warriors is our 6 p.m. game tomorrow, and that is here on Triple M, of course. The late game on Triple M in Queensland, it's the derby. Not what it used to be, but still it should be pretty competitive because they're both around the same, well, 13th versus 15th. And you know when those two get together, it's always a good game. Cowboys and Broncos from Suncorp, they played earlier this year, and it was a one-point game there. Val Holmes kicked the field goal. Dragons South. From Brown Park in Rockhampton is your Saturday afternoon game. Maroon will be calling that one with Sterlo. And is that you too, Wendell? Yes, indeed.
I don't want it, but if I have to call, I'll take one for the team.
I think you might have some tries in that one. Knights and the Raiders at 5:30. You'll get that Triple M Newcastle, of course. And then the big one on Saturday night. Penrith, not the team we are used to, but they take on the Melbourne Storm. That's a bummer, isn't it, Gert?
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing, Dan. But, I mean, it was always going to happen to Penrith at some point. They've had such a good run for the last sort of 18 months. And they've got some hurdles to overcome. They meet a red-hot Melbourne Storm who they had a look, they were missing some key players when they met. I think it was in round 3 or 4 at the start of the year. Penrith prevailed on that occasion. Now Penrith have got some challenges and some hurdles they need to get over. And I think it's going to be a really good test of character for the club.
God, they're excited here in Mackay for this game, and you can understand why. Bulldogs Titans, 2 p.m. Sunday, and then we have a debut here on Triple M Footy after Aaron Wood's star performance in the commentary box a few weeks ago. Well, he's playing for the Sharks against Manly. James Graham.
Oh, cool.
Will make his Triple M commentary debut.
Oh, great. When's that? On Sunday?
Sunday. Is that you? Fine. Is that Gerds with me as well? Okay. Yes, indeed.
So, yeah, we know he's such a talented guy. I think he's played in 9 grand finals, and obviously he won that Super League grand final last year.
Thank goodness.
But yeah. If anyone hasn't seen it, do yourself a favour. Empty stadium, there was a field goal attempt at the end. It hit the post. Dan, you could explain it more than me. It bounced.
It was St Helens, wasn't it?
And St Helens and Wigan?
Might have been, but the ball hit the crossbar, bounced under in the in goal, and then St Helens swooped through and scored and won the game.
And this is unbelievable footage. I might get producer Charlie to send the footage out. Mate, I feel sorry for Bevan French because Bevan French did the right thing. Because I was up in the morning, Gerds, and as it bounces, he goes to shield it across the dead ball line. It bounces left. I don't know who the young kid who scored. He scored it. James Graham's on the sideline. They win their grand final. So he won 2 grand finals out of 9. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he was here the other day when we spoke about it.
That's it. And a perfect way for him to finish. But anyway, he will join us on Sunday afternoon. That's in Redcliffe. Sharks and the Seagulls. And Manly, geez, my God, Gertz, have a look at their team they're presenting.
Yeah.
Tom Trbojevic, Foran, Cherry Evans, Schuster is back. And Jake Trbojevic, they've been back for a couple of weeks. Curtis Sirenen chimes in on the bench as well, so that's a big test for all the Sharks.
There's a real swagger up on the beaches, Dan. I know we're all locked in at the moment, but there's just this air of confidence that's starting to build around the chances. My neighbours are mad Manly fans, and they love a little yell over the fence about what's going on in the footy and how well Manly are going. So they're pretty, I'll tell you what, poised, aren't they? They'll be having a close eye on 100%. Tonight's result, that's for sure.
Well, either way, it kind of works for them because Parramatta, they have got such a hard draw that even if they win tonight, they will feel like they can climb on top of them. But if the Roosters win, then obviously Manly could get to within one win of the top four with 5 weeks to spare.
I think they'd rather that. I think they'd just rather... I know Parramatta's draw's a tough one, but, I mean, you could just be one win away from that top four spot. I think you take that.
And I'm tipping Melbourne, Penrith and South. If you said, who don't you want to be with you in the top four, they would all say Manly of those three teams.
Have to agree.
But speaking of Melbourne, re-signing Craig Bellamy, we can't be surprised by that. So it's a five-year deal. That's a big coup. At least one as head coach. So he will absolutely head coach next year. And you never know. You've never seen him happy, Adele. So maybe he'll go beyond that. But
yeah, but
big coup for them.
But I'm not... People shouldn't be surprised because Craig Bellamy, as Gerdson, you know, he doesn't just set the culture, he sets standards. See, like, we all need Wally characters in a culture. Remember at Penrith, like, you know, obviously you played with guys like Craig Yarrow and that, and obviously, but you need guys like Brandon Smith. He lets Brandon Smith be Brandon Smith. You know what Wayne Bennett said last year about Cam Munster? Mate, Cam Munster rang him and said, mate, can I have an extra day? And he goes, mate, you be here tomorrow. And remember that's the video session of Cam Munster? He was in a bad place at the fitness, but you know what? He played this series, and that's what Wayne Bennett does here. It's like Craig Bellamy.
Yep.
He coached me. People don't understand this. He was the assistant coach of the Broncos in 98, 2000, I think, or 97, 98. He was our assistant. On days off, he used to ring the boys and go, boys, what are you up to?
Getting?
We're playing golf. So me, Ben Walker, Shane Walker, Chris Walker sometimes will be playing golf, but he's just the world's best bloke, and that sets the standard of the culture.
It's just getting that balance right, Wendell. Yeah. Getting that balance right of accountability with the players, not being, you know, close enough to them to let them step over that line, but then also, you know, having a relationship where there's a lot of mutual respect. And when you need to draw the line, there's moments I'm sure Craig does, and he's able and he does it with authority, but then he also pulls down the barrier when he needs to. And getting that balance right, I think, Dan, as a manager and a mentor is something that if you look at all the, you know, the best coaches we've had in our game over the years, it's something they've been able to do. It's just be able to break down the barriers when needed, but also hold their charges to account when they need to.
And they might need him for the next story, and that is Brandon Smith. Now the Roosters have got their sights set on him. Roosters don't miss out, usually. When they want someone, they usually hold on to them, but you've seen how happy Brandon Smith is, and he loves Craig Bellamy. So what do you think of this one, Gerds? The Roosters chasing Brandon Smith. It's billed as they're using their Boyd Cordner money.
Well, I think there'll be probably 8 or 9 clubs chasing Brandon Smith next year because he's a player that plays dummy half, one of the most important positions in the game, but also then doubles back into a middle forward role and has great drive and leg speed and is aggressive defensively and has got a little bit of a pass in his game as well. So the way the game's developed over the last couple of years, he's just become more valuable to any sort of team. And then you add the character. One of the most charismatic players that we have in the game at the moment. So what does that do for your corporate partnership? What does that do for your membership? People want to see, they want to hear. What does it do for all of your online content? It does a lot. And those things are pretty important to an NRL club these days. So, mate, I wouldn't be surprised, Dan, if there's 7 or 8 clubs throwing big coin, probably up near around $1 million for Brandon when he comes off contract.
Mate, this is the thing that Brandon Smith's got to weigh up. Does he stay at a culture like the Melbourne Storm, play that utility role because he could play at 13, you could play in the back row, but he's great for the culture. Guys like him and Munster set that culture. Let's be honest. Harry Grant's the best number 9 in the game. I love Damien Cook. It's Harry Grant, Damien Cook.
Well, he's got to get on the field, Harry.
And that's the other thing, Dan.
I agree. But, mate, Harry Grant, like, he's next level, but Brandon Smith, I'm telling you, every day of the week I'm signing Brandon Smith because he's not only a great player.
Yeah.
I don't know Brandon Smith, but he's good for the culture of the club.
Seems like right, doesn't it?
We really need to see. Melbourne, you got a big decision. They're lucky they've got another year under the belt to make that decision because I think a lot more will come out about Harry Grant at the back end of this year if he gets back on the field.
Yeah.
And then how he goes through next year because he's a really physical number 9. And his body at this point hasn't really handled the rigours of the role on a weekly basis because he gets a couple of games in and then he's out and then he gets a couple of games in and he's a guy that's always on the ball. And, if you look at Cameron Smith and you try and compare him, Cameron was always really measured in the way that, you know, in contact and with his defence and when he ran the football. Harry's a different style of play. He's all in and he's not handling the bumps at the moment. So they need to weigh up whether or not they can afford to have, you know, a hooker like Harry on the sideline and have no support for him and what that's worth. Because, Del, they've now lost Dale Finucane.
Yeah, no, but that's, mate, look, mate, Dale Finucane, no disrespect, he's a great player and he's great for the culture of the club. But 3-4 years ago, I used to, like, you know, listen to the Grill Team. I don't listen to that much anymore. But because Matty John said something.
Well, they're not on anymore, Del.
I'm being honest. So all of a sudden he said something about, there's a kid called Harry Grant. And Matty John's, he knows football better than anyone. And then he said, so all of a sudden I started watching this kid. And it's Harry Grant. And he goes, this kid will be the best number 9 in the game in the next couple of years. sure enough,
yeah,
Matty Johns on the money.
Seems that way, and really seems like a question. Is Brandon Smith comfortable with playing number 13? He seems comfortable when they throw him there, but you always hear noises, he wants to play number 9.
Yeah.
And he started at hooker in all but two games this year for Melbourne. So he's got his wish this year due to circumstances.
Yeah, but if Harry gets on the field for extended periods and plays for 80 minutes,
yeah,
you're not getting any number 9, you wonder where... And as I said, next year, I think for Brandon and for the club, they'll get more of an indication of where all that lies and what his future looks like or his options look like down there in Melbourne.
A couple of quick ones because we are running a touch late. Bulldogs, Paul Vaughan, one-year deal. Smart move. I believe it's on pretty good money, but it's only for 1 year.
Probably.
I like it, Dan. I think he's a guy that is probably hasn't been able to, in relation to maturity over the years, he probably hasn't been to where he needs to be as a leader, and I think this is an opportunity now. He's been a bit of a wake-up call. It's been a big financial loss for him, obviously, but also an incident like that can just change the way you go about and appreciate, as you asked Wendell, what you've got. And I think if he goes up there and he puts his best foot forward and he's around the right people and he's grateful for the opportunity that they've given him, I think that 1 year could turn into another couple of years and we might see the best of him yet.
Yeah, look, probably not for me to comment on because I'm an ex-Dragon. Obviously, he was very good with my young bloke, always checks in on my young bloke. But I think for the Bulldogs, I think, mate, for a year, it's an opportunity to prove himself, and we all need second chances in the game, as Gerds and you know.
It's only 1 year, so if it doesn't work, if he's not the player he used to be, a bit like Dufty, then what's it cost them, really?
Yeah.
It's cost them 1 year, a year there, even with all the influx of talent. Not going to win the comp next year. They're building.
That's right. Yep.
So,
I think it's a good play.
Very sensible, it would seem. All right, Triple M rocking your Thursday night football as we do it for Canadian Club. We will have more after this. We're going to talk about the Roosters and the Eels, which is coming up in about 15 minutes.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. We're not far away from kickoff in Mackay, where the Roosters are taking on Parramatta with Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Dan Ganane, your call team tonight. And, boys, it's a big night. I didn't think you'd be saying this, but for Josh Morris, this is a big night. He is recalled. He was dropped, which is something that hasn't happened all that often for Billy Smith. Smith, unfortunately, the poor bugger was injured again.
Unbelievable, Dan.
It's just incredible. Cursed. Cursed.
Well, yeah.
So Morris comes back in, but he's got to go in with the knowledge that, he's got to ask himself, has this game passed him by?
Look, to be honest, I think sometimes when you're a bit older, you need a little bit of tap on the shoulder. I don't think he's passed it, but I think he knows now if he plays next year, there's a chance that the game will pass him by.
Yeah.
But I think when you get a bit older, you get a bit comfortable. Because I remember when I came back from my time out of the game, mate, I played with him and Brett Morris, obviously, his twin brother. The kids were good at, and Wayne let Josh Morris go. And the reason why he let him go, because he said, look, I don't know if he's that good, because there was two centres of Dragons. These guys went all right in their career. Ready? Matt Cooper.
Gaznia.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Josh Morris, that's Annie. You need a little bit of a tap on the shoulder. Mate, Josh wasn't playing bad, but Josh Morris sets a standard, so he'll be sweet. Yeah.
You agree, Gerds? He's only got really, let's think about this year. There's only six rounds left and then finals.
Yeah.
So you're asking him to be at his best or close to for 10 weeks.
Mate, one of the best centres in the game, Ryan Girdler.
It just hasn't been able to reach that. I don't know whether it had something to do with when Brett got injured, but it doesn't seem to have recovered since that. He's sort of lost a little bit of the motivation or whatever it may be, and Dell's 100% right. Sometimes at that stage of your career, you kind of need a little bit of time on the sidelines and you need some honest conversations with the people that you really trust, and I'm sure he's got a great relationship with Trent Robinson. And speaking of Trent last week, and it probably was one of the hardest calls he's made in a long time of coaching, he came out and said, look, if I can say anything about Josh, at training, he's been up and about, and he's a team-first man, and I think, as opposed to thinking or having the mindset of, I shouldn't have been dropped, I'm back in. It'll be, hey, I've got another opportunity. Now, this is potentially my last year.
Yeah.
We're a good chance here of getting into the finals. We've got a little bit of momentum. I'm going to make a difference. And I think we'll see that with Josh tonight.
Is there a way this route... Joey Manu at 5, by the way.
Yeah, well, we saw a little bit of that last week, Dan.
So we expect that
they're not playing funny buggers, Adam Kieran named in the centres. So Manu, you think, will be the on the wing?
Yeah, but when he got moved around to the wing last week, Dan, he just went on that roving commission because he's a guy you can put in a position but don't necessarily need him to stay in that role. Like, a little bit like what Tom did at Origin. He's just got a feel for the game at being at the right place at the right time. And I was watching him last week. He ended up on the wing last week by default because they got so many injuries to their three quarters. So he ended up just on the right wing, but whenever they had the football and he got within the opposition half, he was just in there like a second fullback to Tedesco. So have a look at that. Look out for that tonight.
You know, we talk about roving wingers, and that's why, mate, he's got a great opportunity here, Joey Manu. The reason why he's on the wing is because there's not too many. Suali is injured. Ikavalu, obviously Brett Morris is injured. You know why? I feel sorry for Joseph Manu. And if I'm the Warriors, I'm offering $1 million every day of the week. Yeah. You know that deal? So Brent Reed broke the story that I think...
Well, they've been saying it publicly for a while. They want him to be the next Roger Tuivasa.
So it's apparently it's $3 million over 3 years from 2022 or 2023. Brent Reed told me this. Mate, if I'm buying Joseph Manu, I'm buying him for the culture of the club, and he's world-class.
I think he's one of the best outside backs in the game.
Yes.
I think he's underrated to a degree, and he can play a myriad of different positions.
You put him at one, you can put him at six.
And that's why.
And you know what I like about him? And we saw it a lot last year when they went through this whole injury issue, because it's been 2 years now for the Roosters with those sort of injury issues. He was a guy that when the game was on the line was putting his hand up to make a difference last year, and he's continued on that this year. It's just in his nature to want the football in those moments when they need to create something. So he's a big game player, and I think he'll find a way into the game tonight for sure.
All right. It is the Roosters against Parramatta. Triple M rocking Thursday night football. Canadian Club bringing us prime time. If you're over beer, well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.